Are aliens demons? Is this a conversation that Christians should even be having? In the Reformed and conservative Calvinistic world, we don't want to talk about this. It is foolish. People say that these are myths, genealogies, silly talk. But our culture isn't there. Our culture is embracing it. And I think a lot of people are questioning their faith. And there are people who are definitely leaving the faith because, well, it doesn't seem like Christians are willing and ready to have a conversation about aliens. And today we're going to review a video that is having this very conversation. And I think it would be healthy to listen to this video and then respond to it from a biblical perspective. How should we, as those who love scripture and love the gospel, be thinking about this conversation in our culture so that we can help the lost find Christ and bring rest to those who are weary and distracted by this conversation? So stay tuned. Ever read the Bible and walk away feeling like you're failing? No matter how hard you try, you're never measuring up. That's not a motivation problem, that's a reading problem. Most people have never been taught how to read the Bible the way Jesus taught it. So when they hear things like, be perfect, deny yourself, take up your cross, they assume it's all about trying harder. But what if that's not what Jesus was doing at all? What if the law isn't meant to fix you, but to reveal your need for a savior? And what if the gospel isn't advice, but an announcement of what Christ has already done for you? That's the difference between law and gospel. And once you see it, everything changes. Clarity, rest, and confidence. In the Bible according to Jesus, I show you how to read scripture the way Jesus intended, so you stop feeling crushed and confused and start living with confidence and rest in Christ. You can get your copy of the book at theocast.org. Welcome to another episode. I'm John Moffitt. I am the pastor of Grace Reformed Church here in Spring Hill, Tennessee. And if this is your first time listening to Theocast, we're so glad that you're here. We have free resources for you. You can go download a free ebook on rest, and that's available at our website, theocast.org. We have other books that are available, articles, lots of stuff there. Community, you can go check all of that out. We're about to start a new book study in our community. It's a great place to ask questions, meet other believers who are having questions from around the world. There's pastors and missionaries in there, and it's been a great place. So you can go check that out. All right, I'm going to go ahead and jump into this episode. I want to respond to it and interact with it just because it is a topic I think that will affect people's rest. I think it's a topic that is on the minds of a lot of people. We are starting to think more about the spiritual realm. We're starting to think more about aliens. So I appreciate this man's channel. Ruslan has a lot of great stuff on there. And I think he's doing a pretty good job as far as trying to keep Christians aware of what's going on in our culture. I don't follow his channel very closely, so I couldn't tell you a lot about him other than I do appreciate a lot of the work that he does. And he's interviewing this is not the full interview. This is a section from his interview, but Billy Holloway, who produced a film recently called Investigating the Supernatural, Angels and Demons. In this particular clip, they're having a conversation about aliens as it relates to the spiritual realm. So I want to play it and then I'm going to stop it here and there and give you some thoughts. From a Reformed perspective, how do we, especially the young crowd that's talking about this right now, how should we think about it? If we have our kids, how do we shepherd them? If you have teenagers or college students, how do we, you might send this to them to kind of give them some insight of like, hey, how do we think about this as Christians? It's not a topic that we can ignore. And so I wanted to just start the conversation and then go back to Christ and go back to the gospel. And how does this affect the church? How does this affect your daily life? You know, should you look into this? Should you not look into this? This is the conversation I want to have. But at the end of the day, I'm worried that some might find themselves confused or worried, and I want to help remove that. I want to help remove some of the confusion, give us a sure foundation in Christ, understand how the gospel is not changed, nor is the Bible changed, and nor is the purpose of the church changed. No matter what comes down from above or from below, our mission and the power remains the same. So let's go ahead and jump into this conversation. I think some of it is extremely helpful.
And you guys make the argument that UFOs are real, but they are not coming from a different galaxy. They're not coming from a different universe, which that wouldn't really make sense, right? That they're interdimensional beings, if you will. Tell me what you guys explore specifically, how you came about that in the documentary.
This is crazy because 10 years ago, if you had told me we were going to sit across from each other and talk about UFOs and aliens, I would have said, you're crazy. But yeah, here we are. I mean, culture is obsessed with this topic
yes,
right now.
Yes.
This is so true. Right. 10 years ago, wasn't on my mind and definitely not on the minds of other people. People that I never thought would have this conversation, talk about aliens or cryptids, Bigfoot, none of that. This is not a conversation. So it's acceptable. And this all has to do a lot with, I think, what's going on in our culture. But there's also people having a lot of experiences they can't explain. And so I think it's I just wanted to stop and realize that this is even true for me. Like, it's interesting that this conversation I'm having it more and more and more with people because they're being faced with it in movies, in social media, in the news. So anyways, let's keep going.
You've got presidents talking about it. Trump has talked about it. Obama's talked about it. And you have a lot of people throughout history, especially recent history, saying they've seen things they can't explain, that there are aircrafts that are moving in ways that defy physics. And so with all of that, you then have to say, well, is everybody making it up? Are they mistaken? Are they seeing something that maybe isn't quite what they thought? Or is there something actually there? And so we talked with Dr. Hugh Ross. We have him in the film, and you know, he's a very smart guy. He's been looking at this for years, probably investigated more UFO sightings than anyone else. And you know, his conclusion essentially is that you have a situation where you're dealing with spiritual beings. Now, not everybody has this position. Some people, they believe, even in the church, that aliens are real. Mm-hmm. Others would say, and when I say aliens are real, like aliens are actually their own created thing, right? Mm-hmm. They're not demons. They're not angels. They're aliens. But what Hugh Ross argues, and I think this is compelling, and we address this in the film, is that you're dealing with the demonic realm. Mm-hmm. And there are a variety of reasons why he concludes that. Mm-hmm. And I think, and I have to say this, I had not thought of this before. And going into this project, I hadn't really thought a lot about aliens. Mm-hmm. And now I'm thinking, and we were working on this way before, you know, Trump and Obama were saying the things they were saying. You know, when you look at stories, claims of UFOs, claims particularly of alien abductions, which sounds ridiculous and crazy, people being in trances, having these interactions, none of these stories are positive. Mm-hmm. Every one of these stories is traumatic and they mirror possession stories. They mirror, you know, oppression stories. So, you know, I'll sort of start there. I think when you start to compare the alien abduction stories to what we see in scripture and what we actually see people talk about with the demonic, they're direct mirrors of each other.
Mm. Yeah. One of the things.
Okay. So I'll let Rulison comment here in a minute, but this is a heavy debate within the Christian world. I know that there are some who get really upset when they say aliens are demons because it's just simplifying it. And it can cause confusion when, let's say, that's not the case. You know, I'm not here to choose a side. I want to look at this from a biblical perspective, and I'm going to help us do that here in a minute. But you have some that are saying, no, these are actual like beings. They're not fallen angels. They're not demons. Or some people say that they're meat suits and the demons are inside them. And there's all kinds of crazy theories that are out there. I think there are people who've done a lot of research. There's something going on. We've moved past conspiracy theory to we're not sure what exactly is happening, but there's something happening. And it is causing a lot of people to be unsettled. There's some unrest. We want to categorize things. We want to have a category, and so it's easier at times to just say that's a demon. But that doesn't necessarily make the scenario go away or make the situation go away. And I've even heard stories where, you know, people are encountering that they're thinking it's a demon, and so they're trying to treat it like it's a demon. And it's, you know, there's a lot of chaotic stories that are out there. And as these stories arise, I think our enemy is going to use it, no matter what side you fall on, the alien or not, if they can use it to garner worship, garner distraction, pull away from God, pull Christians and get Christians distracted, then they'll do that for sure. And I think that it's true. I think that there are some who have come back to the faith I've talked to people like this because they started to study the paranormal. They started studying alien abductions and it actually brought them back to the faith. And I think there are some who are distracted by it and they are more infatuated with aliens than they are with Christ. And that is also a problem, right? You can fall off on either side of this situation.
You guys explore is the like the thousands of these cases and how a lot of them, if not all of them, have a strong overlap with people that are dabbling in the occult or have people that are close to them that are dabbling in the occult.
Yeah. Well, okay. This is interesting. So, and this is where we need more Christian research, honestly, because I love research. I love scientific research. When you look at locations, cities and states where mm-hmm. people are practicing the occult more prevalently, mm-hmm. that's where you see more claims of alien abductions, mm-hmm. more claims of UFOs.
I haven't heard
and
that.
So you start to draw this conclusion. If more people are engaging in the occult in those areas, is it opening up what appears to be...
By the way, the occult is on the rise. There's more people practicing witchcraft and going and entering occult practices than in the United States than we have had in the history. And that's not my statement. That's a lot of people. So it's not surprising that we might see more interactions with strange things when we start interacting with the spiritual realm in ways that our country really hasn't done in a high level ever.
Aliens, you know, alien encounters. Now, if you're the demonic realm, and you're trying to kill, steal, destroy, confuse. Like, what does the Bible say about the enemy? That's what he comes to mm-hmm. do. Mm-hmm. Then it would make perfect sense, hypothetically, right, that you would try to convince people that you're something else, right? You're not demons. We're aliens. Mm-hmm. And you start to sort of shift people's perspective. Mm-hmm. That's the theory here. Not everybody's going to love that theory, mm-hmm. but I think it does make a lot of sense, especially when you start to take the Bible and say, okay, angels, right? And we can get into the whole conversation of what are demons? Are they fallen angels? Are they something else? Angels can appear in different forms. The Bible even says that mm-hmm. they can appear as people. You mm-hmm. may entertain them and not even know, right? Mm-hmm. So when you start to think about that, why could demons then not appear as other things, mainly in this case, aliens?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a super fascinating argument. And this is the part of scripture that what I've been trying to draw into the light for people, I think it's healthy that when you're reading Paul, he says that Satan is the angel of light and those his followers can appear as angels of light. You could call that a messenger, but the idea of it is that there are people in the church. There are beings in the church. I'm not quite exactly sure how to interpret what Paul is saying. Like, are these actual angels that are appearing as humans and they're false teachers? And he calls it the doctrine of demons. First John says we are to test the spirits to make sure to see if they're of the Lord. He just quoted Hebrews where it says, be hospitable to everyone for you are entertaining angels unaware. That's an interesting, like that, the call. To this, those who are reading the book of Hebrews, is that be nice to everyone because you might be entertaining an angel and you don't know it. I mean, that's just like we don't have a category for that for the American church, especially in the Reform world, the Calvinistic world. We don't have a category for that. We read that and we just kind of say, well, let's move on. You know, let's debate about limited atonement or something. And I get that because I've been there. And people, I know that your finger is on the button. You're about to shut me off because you're like, wow, John, you've really gone off the rails here. You're going into speculation. I'm not going into speculation. When Paul says in Ephesians 6, you're not wrestling against flesh and blood, and he names entities, we don't know a lot about these entities, principalities, powers, rulers. He is describing an entire kingdom, which is called the kingdom of darkness, led by the God of this world, led by Satan, who is described as the God of this world, who is the great deceiver who wants to murder, kill, and steal. And it sounds like there's an entire network, a structure that works with this. You can go and read the book of Daniel, where it talks about there being territorial beings and Daniel's messenger gets held up by it and he's got to call Michael to come and help him. And it's crazy. They're crazy stories. The reason I'm pointing this out is that I think we have for so long lived in a flesh driven, I can do driven Christianity. And the occult is on the rise. Strangeness is on the rise. And you're not going to fight this. You're not going to fight this type of evil. I think it's when Jesus looks at the disciples, I still don't really understand what he means, but Jesus, the disciples asked Jesus, like, why couldn't we cast out a demon like this one? And Jesus says, this one doesn't come out by much prayer and fasting, right? Like, what kind of one are we talking about? Like, the Bible does this often where it doesn't really give us a ton of details about the spiritual realm. And so we act like we know about everything there is about the spiritual realm, including potentially aliens. We assume if we're unaware of it up to this point in existence, then it doesn't exist, or it's fantasy, it's fairy tale, it's made up, or it's demons. And we need to be careful because the Bible describes that there's a lot going on more than just demons, principalities, powers, and rulers. There's stuff going on here. And I don't think we should be afraid of it. And I'm going to explain to you why. But there's a difference between not being afraid of it and ignorant, and being ignorant and being stung by it. And we'll get to that here in a minute. I've mentioned this before in private conversations. I want to put it on here. I think it's important that we read the Bible. We'll get back to this conversation in a minute. We read the Bible as it was intended to be read. The Bible does not cover for everything that we need to when it comes to the existence of our world. The Bible is very clear that what we need for living in Christ and godliness has been given to us in the Word. So what we need to do to be living as humans, as Christians in this world, has been given to us. Now, it doesn't give us everything about physics and math and English or even science. It's not a science book. It's not an English book. It's not a math book. Some of that stuff is in there, sure. But it's also not a spiritual realm book. Now, it deals heavily with the spiritual realm as it relates to our threat, what we need to know, and how to defeat it, and how to accomplish our mission, which is the advancement of the kingdom. That is what it tells us. And it says, you know everything you need to know. We don't even know everything there is to know about Jesus. His childhood, we know hardly anything about that. Like, to say that the Bible has given us everything that there is to know about the world is dangerous. It doesn't describe what a donkey is. It doesn't describe what a dog is. Like, it doesn't do that. Like, you have to use outside knowledge to come to that conclusion. So when it says donkey, and you're not living in the era of the internet, and you've never seen a donkey, then, you know, how are you to determine what it is? You're going to have outside knowledge to help you with that. I would say that the Bible describes a lot of things, but not every. It doesn't describe every animal, what they look like, what they could do, or insects, or any of that, even how the weather works. It describes the weather, doesn't tell us how it works. This is true of the spiritual realm. I think we probably know about 5% of what's going on in the spiritual realm. The Old and New Testament gives us just enough to know its power, its deception, its enemy. It's definitely our enemy. And how we need to be aware of it and some of the capacities that it has. That's it. But for instance, it says, you know, in Hebrews, going back to that, like, we don't even understand how angels work. They have physical bodies that can eat. It says you're entertaining them, which means that entertaining them would mean that you're feeding them and you're giving them rest. This is what's happening with Abraham as the angels are walking up, Christ being one of them, the angel of the Lord, and he washes their feet and he gives them a meal. Physical bodies in Sodom and Gomorrah, those are angels. You've got the wrestling with Jacob. So there's a physical nature to the angels. You could go back to the episode that I did on the giants in Genesis 6. I have a whole section in there about the angels. But That's all we're told. We're not told how they have physical bodies. We're not told why we can see them and they disappear and appear. How is it that they can appear as angels of light? Like, what does Paul mean by that? Why does 1 John say test the spirits to see if they're of the Lord? Like, what does he mean by that? So there's we have concluded that medieval people were ignorant. People in other countries are easily manipulated. We in here in the West, we've got it figured out. We're not so easily fooled. And if it's not in scripture, it doesn't exist. Or if we can't explain it, it's a demon. It's always a demon. And I think we have to be careful. I mean, you could take a cell phone back 200-300 years ago, and they would say that's demonic. Like you have the capacity to hold people's images and in your hand, and it's moving. I mean, that they would say you probably would have been burned at the stake for being practicing witchcraft, because we just don't understand it. So we just have to be careful that because we don't understand it, we immediately call it something. And the reason why I'm going here is that it might shatter people's faith. You have young people who are going towards the occult because they realize there's more going on in our world. You have people going towards Roman Catholicism because they're wanting the more mystical nature of an Eastern Orthodoxy. They want the mystical nature of their faith. You have people who are really abandoning Christianity altogether because they are convinced that we're put here by angels and God doesn't even exist. Satan is winning. If he can get us off of Christ, off our mission, fighting with each other, arguing with each other, mocking each other, making fun of each other, not being willing to sit down and truly in engage with conversations like this, then the message that we do have, which is extremely powerful, the gospel, is lost. So a little bit of a rant there, but I think it's important that just because the Bible doesn't tell us about aliens and flying crafts and things like this doesn't mean it doesn't exist. We just have to be really careful to allow scripture to be what it is. So we'll get to that at the end. So stay with me at the end, because I'm going to tell you how we're going to interact with this going forward and how I think the Bible is very clear in how we should interact with this type of information. If you're new to Theocast, you may not have heard of this word. It's called pietism. Have you ever felt like the Christian life is a heavy burden versus rest and joy? That you wake up worrying about how well you're going to perform instead of thinking about what Christ has done for you? It's dread versus joy, really. That's pietism. Pietism causes Christians to look in on themselves and find their hope, not in what Christ has done, but what they're doing. And we have a little book for you. It's free. We want you to download it. And we're going to explain the difference between pietism and what we call confessionalism. Reformed theology, really. How it is that we walk by faith, seeing the joy of Christ. And when Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest, what does that look like? You can download it at our website. Just go to theocast.org.
Yeah. One of the things you guys talk about is the fact that all these documentations there, they show sometimes these aircrafts traveling between speeds of 5,000 to 15,000 miles per hour without any sonic booms. And I went down the rabbit hole of aviation and flights that were shorter coming from London to New York, and then they discontinued those flights. One of the biggest pushbacks was at certain speeds, you're going to get the sonic booms.
Yeah.
And that disrupts the areas that the airports are in or the skyways. And so they kind of, that was a downfall of it. And so there's the no sonic booms. There is no heat friction. Talk about like the crash sites that would have radiation like damage in these big old craters, but no debris, right? And like all of that from a physical standpoint seems implausible.
Because the question you have here is, are you dealing with something that is physically there, right? You know, if aliens and UFOs are real as a created species, whatever you want to call them, then you would have aircraft, you would have physical items, you would have, you know, creatures that are actually present in there. Mm-hmm. Or are you dealing with something that is spiritual, that is showing up and manifesting itself? Mm-hmm. And we think it's there, but it's actually not. It's traveling between dimensions, right? Mm-hmm. And this sounds so crazy and strange, but to what you just said, to your point, there's nothing left behind. I know there are claims that there are aircrafts, but we have not seen any of that, right? Mm-hmm. If there was so much evidence of that, you would expect to have seen that evidence somewhere. Mm-hmm. And so I know people will push back on that, but I do think when Hugh Ross makes his points, and people will see this in Investigating the Supernatural, he makes the point that we don't see anything physical outside of that sort of radiation, right? Or that sort of like, okay, there's a crater that it seems like something was there. Mm-hmm. But that very well could be a spiritual manifestation, right? Even if you think about the Shroud of Turin, right? Mm-hmm. The whole conversation is about how that image was made, right? Mm-hmm. This spiritual moment, if people are to believe that that's authentic,
right?
That created in the resurrection this image. If that's true, then you would imagine that the spiritual realm would have those sorts of things unfold and how they manifest. So, yeah, it's interesting to me. Again, I'm an evidence person. So, you know, I never say definitively 100% this is what it is. Mm-hmm. But when you don't have evidence for something or you're not seeing it, I start to wonder, okay, what's going on here? And also the backdrop of our culture, we are in a totally chaotic culture right now, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting that suddenly as a culture, people who won't believe in God, they won't believe in any other, you know, thing outside of ourselves. Yeah, they're suddenly believing in aliens, right? Yeah. That's really interesting to me. If I'm trying to deceive people, my goal would be to try to deviate and push them towards this other thing.
If I hope people go and watch this new.
All right. He's got a great point. And I made this earlier. The gods of the Old Testament, they had power. They were able to convince millions of people to worship them, to sacrifice their children to them. It's crazy. And now you have a secular culture. And so instead of dealing with the gods, we're dealing with angels now, which is not angels, but aliens. And, you know, Ancient Aliens is probably one of the number one shows on Discovery Channel for I don't even know how long, a long time. And it's like all over the news. It's all over your social media. So, all right, how do we think about this as Christians? There's two things. One, I think you need to be aware of the spiritual realm. I think you need to be aware of what's going on because it's like germs. I asked somebody the other day, how often do you wash your hands? You know, do you wash your hands quite a bit throughout the day? Like when they get dirty, you eat, whatever, you wash them. And then how often do you think and are terrified by germs? And this person was like, I don't think about it at all. I know I need to wash my hands. And so there is an awareness of the danger. There's a practice to handle it. And that creates protection so that you're not affected by unclean hands. Like dirty hands can make you pretty sick. In some cases, could kill you depending on what's on your hand and what you put in your mouth. So I think that this is why the New Testament says things like greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. You know, stand in the strength of the Lord and the power of his might. Why? Well, because there is an actual entity that can intoxicate your brain, that can get you enslaved, and that can get you distracted and off course by his fiery darts, by his lies, by the manipulation that is available in the world to him as he uses. I mean, you just look at social media, the amount of people that now think that, you know, ending the life of a child before it's born is normal. That's crazy. Right. That is a great example of a demonic influence. So he is now going to use other means. Now, I don't understand how it all works. I don't need to understand how it works. I don't need to verify whether there's actual crafts or there's actual aliens. At the end of the day, whether it's a created thing or not, whether it's demonic or not, my mission doesn't change. And I think Christians who mock this, make fun of it, push it aside, make fun of those who are trying to and not engage with people, you're not going to have the opportunity to rescue them from the kingdom of darkness because they feel shamed. But if you engage it and you're not shocked by it, you're aware of it, then you can be a part of the conversation around this where it becomes important. I don't care if a whole ship of millions of aliens end up in our world. And all of a sudden, you know, the life as we know it completely changes. My mission doesn't change. I'm called to preach the gospel to everyone, right? You know, because people are saying, well, if you believe in aliens and that changes the gospel and how does God save aliens and are they human? Are they not human? Like, it's not my responsibility to figure that out. That is just not, I've not been called to do that. Been called to be a part of my local church and love my neighbor and proclaim the gospel to them and to deliver them out of the kingdom of darkness, whether that is worshiping other gods, whether that's ignoring God or denying him altogether or worshiping aliens or trusting in aliens or whatever else, you know, trusting in evolution, they need to be delivered from it because it's not the one true God. It's not the one who will save them and give them eternal life with him in the new heavens and the new earth. No matter what solution AI or an alien or any other spiritual being presents to the world, it's insufficient. And we have to die for that message. In many ways, we're going to. And there are people right now around the world who are dying for that message. But Satan is the ultimate deceiver. And he will, if not create or use any means possible at his disposal to keep the church from talking about the gospel. Now, I don't think this is a distraction. There are people who are trying to make sense of alien abductions, aliens. Is this demonic or whatever? And I want to tell you, like, look, this is a conversation that Christians need to be a part of. I want to be a part of it as a pastor. I have had crazy stories in my congregation where they've come to me, whether it's in the demonic realm or what it's dealing with aliens. People have told me wild stuff, and I'm not shocked by it. I'm not surprised by it. And I want to help them and shepherd them through it, because sometimes these are very traumatic moments that can leave an imprint on your life. And if you're not able to process that, it can keep you from being ineffective and fruitful in the kingdom. Like, you're so overwhelmed by this experience or the potential of it happening again that you're now taken out, meaning that, as Paul says, or Peter says, that you're being devoured by Satan by fear and anxiety and dread. We don't want that. We have nothing that can hurt us, that can separate us from Christ, no matter how scary it might be. Our bodies may waste away. We may suffer through pain, but our hope remains in Christ. So this is not a conversation that the Reformed, conservative, Calvinistic world needs to shy from. I think it needs to embrace it. We need to stop pretending like we live in a physical world only. We don't live in a physical world only. The gospel that we preach is not, it's not data. It's not information. The gospel is not information. Paul says it is the power of God. It saves us, it sustains us, and it will securely bring us home. And we need to understand that we live in a world that is physical and spiritual, and that the spiritual realm is the realm that is hurting us and that is attacking us. And that's why Paul says you're not wrestling against what you see, you're wrestling against what you can't see. And so I'm not surprised by this. I'm not shocked by it. At times overwhelming because it's so different? Like, our culture is just starting to think about things differently? Sure. But I am excited that more people are thinking about their life and eternity and the world and what's around them, and not just trying to live this perfect little life that they have here that they've evolved out of this, you know, amoeba, out of some little cell. The evolution is on, going away, and now we're starting to talk about the spiritual realm or alien, whatever you want to throw out there. I want to enter that conversation. I want to be a part of that conversation. I want to help people find rest enjoying Jesus Christ, because no AI, no alien, no other God will ever, ever give them what they can have in Christ Jesus. So let's not be afraid of the conversation. Let's join the conversation. I'm thankful for my brother Ruslan, who is willing to have this conversation. Start to think about it. I know that there are others who are willing to. I know that Gavin Ortland has had this conversation where he's thinking about it, trying to process it. Like, how do we understand? As a matter of fact, he put an episode out today. I texted him about it. I was like, let's go. We don't need to be afraid. Christianity isn't going to crumble if aliens are true. Like, I know that's how people think. And so we have to either, if you're a Christian, you want to reject it because you're afraid it'll prove what you believe is wrong. No, it doesn't. Just because we discover something we don't understand doesn't prove that the Bible is wrong. Satan's been trying this tactic for years to disprove the Bible, to disprove Jesus, and he fails. He keeps failing. He will continue to fail. He will always fail because he is powerless when it comes to the truth. We tear down strongholds of every kind by uplifting the knowledge of Christ and the truth of Christ. This is what Paul says. We tear down strongholds. Strongholds of that which is information that holds the person captive. We set captives free by proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, that he is going to not only rescue their heart, mind, and soul, but also their body. They will be delivered, as Isaiah tells us, that one day this world will be set back right. And all of this chaos and murder and strife, and even the animal kingdom in strife, will be set clean and perfect. And that can't come through any other means, not through evolution, not through an alien, and not through AI. It will promise it, and it will look good, and the sales tactic is amazing, but Satan has never delivered on his promises because he can't, because he's a liar. And that's the thing we need to remember, that these are lies. No matter what we discover, let's not be shocked by it. We can use this as a conversation to enter in and say, yes, but they do not have the solution. As good as this might be, it's not proven to be greater than who we are in Christ. So hopefully this is encouraging to those of you that are thinking about this. Some of you aren't, I pray that you made it to the end. And as our culture embraces this and thinks about it more, don't mock them. Don't push them aside. People are searching. They want answers. They're hurting. And we have hope. And so we want to give them that hope. Let's enter this conversation, whether it's about the spiritual realm or we're talking about aliens. Let's be a part of the conversation because we want to lovingly lead people to Jesus, where they can have everything for life and godliness given to them by his divine power. And it comes through them through Jesus Christ. So if you like this conversation, come join us in the community. It's a great place. We got hundreds of people in there that are dialoguing, asking questions, sending me videos. There's a book study going on in there. There's all kinds of articles. I think there's like 27 classes that you could go through. I can't remember. It's been a while since I've updated. But anything from law, gospel distinction, covenant theology, marriage, children, parenting. I mean, there's a ton of stuff that I've put in there over the years. So you can go in there and make yourself available to that. If you can't afford the books or the community, let us know. We will give it to you. We want you to have it. Your support is what makes this available to produce it, this video. If you liked this video, a simple way of helping us out is subscribing on YouTube, liking the video. That just lets them know that this material was helpful. And then leave us a comment down below. What did you thought, or another video you'd like for me to review? That just lets YouTube know. And if you're on the podcast, if you can rate or subscribe and rate us there, it's just a free, simple way of letting the internet know this material is helpful so that other people can find it. All right. Thanks you guys for listening. A little bit different episode, but let's always get back to Christ. That's the point. Without Christ, we have nothing. Lord willing, we'll see you next week. Hey guys, real quick, some of you are listening to this and it's encouraging to you, but you have questions. So where do you go? How do you interact with other people who have the same questions and share resources? We have started something called the Theocast Community, and we're excited because not only is it a place for you to connect with other like-minded believers, all of our resources are there, past podcasts, education materials, articles, all of it's there, and you can share it and ask questions. You can go check it out. The link is in the description below.